The pasuk says, Moshe commanded us the Torah, Morasha Kilat Yaakov. Chazal said, don't read it as Morasha, but as Me'urasa. We know that when a man engages a woman, she's called his Arusa. She is his engaged, his betrothed. So the Torah, we are engaged to the Torah. Just like once a person engages halachically, not what we call today engagement, but what was once called Erusin. Once a person has an Arusa, once he gets halachically engaged to a woman, so no one else may marry her, so too God engaged the Torah to us, and it is not permissible for a non-Jew to learn Torah. Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Moshe commanded us the Torah. It's our inheritance. The introduction ends with Vayhi v'shurun melech. And let's take a step back now that we pause. So let's take a step back. The Torah's, we said the Torah's the inheritance of all of us. Chazal teaches there are three crowns. Within Judaism, we have three crowns. We know in the Mishkan, there were three places where there was a Zer Zahav, a little crown encompassing the Shulchan, the Mizbeach, right? So there were three places where there was a Zer Zahav, and they are a reference to the three crowns. The crown of kingship, we know that was given as an inheritance to David's family. The crown of kahuna, so that was given as an inheritance to the Kohanim, the Aaron's family. And the one crown that's left is the crown of the Torah. A person might say, you know why I'm not a Kohen? Because my father wasn't a Kohen. You know why I'm not a king? Because my father wasn't from the house of David. So God said, I left the greatest crown, the crown of Torah, standing on the side. Whoever wants can get up and take it. If you take the crown of Torah, I'll consider it like you've gotten all three crowns. If you didn't take the crown of Torah, so it's as though you've discarded all three crowns. Those two crowns, the crown of kahuna and kingship, they are predicated upon the strength of the crown of the Torah. The Torah is the one that gives the king the power. The Torah is the one that anoints the coin. You get the crown of the Torah, you've gotten the crown that's the source of the strength of the other two crowns. And it is the responsibility of each person to attain that crown. Now, yeah.
But what about, can't you marry your daughters to Kohen Levi and then to David's family?
You could, so your grandchildren will get the crown, but you didn't get the crown.
But if grandfather or father has righteous children, it's already, this counts as buying the place in Olam Haba as well.
That needs discussion. We'll discuss that at maybe a different time. Yeah.
Can you go to the rabbi and try to buy the kahuna?
You could try, but in Orthodoxy, he won't sell.
You've heard the joke.
Yeah. This concept that the crown of Torah is attainable by all is a reference to the honor of the Torah. Meaning, let's say we have a rabbi in this city, and another rabbi walks into the city. So, let's start differently. Let's say we have a chazan. He always prays. I mean, he's got an okay voice. Along comes a new chazan into town, he moves into town, and he's got a fantastic voice. Pavarotti walks in, he becomes a ger, and he wants to say Netzana Tokev. I know. So, we say that even though he might have good midot, and he might have all the qualifications and a better voice, but when it comes to mitzvot, we have a concept of chazakah. I performed this mitzvot, my father performed it, I've been doing it for such and such number of years, I have a right to the mitzvah. What happens if, you're welcome to a slice, what happens if we have a rabbi in town, and the rabbi, we always honor him, and along comes a new rabbi into town. So we say when it comes to the honor of Torah, anyone can attain the honor. And when we give another rabbi honor, So we're not taking away from the first rabbi. We're saying the crown of Torah is attainable by all. And if you learn Torah, you learn Torah. What do you mean?
Like all day?
You attain a knowledge of Torah. There are levels of understanding in Torah, right? So there's a person, so there are different qualifications. There's a level where we say you're a student, and that's that if they ask you halacha in anywhere, you could answer. Even in some esoteric halachos, that's a Talmud. Yeah, that's when you're a good student. So today we have different levels, but there are different ways of gauging where a person is. A person getting smicha, etc. But in general, we say that the Keter Torah is attainable by all. Yeah. Yeah.
So it would seem like it's an obligation to ourselves to reveal that. Yeah? Since we've already been given it at one time, then we're just basically uncovering when the angel gave it to us. Yeah? Since we're just basically, our job is to uncover it. Yeah? And it would seem like that we're doing a great service to ourselves if we don't.
Yeah, but that's a different point. That's not this point. Here we're talking about the Torah as the empirical Torah, not your Torah or my Torah. But the Torah is an inheritance. We all have a right to it and an obligation to learn it. The fact that we're each going to have our portion that we uncover is a different point. But we can't think that, I have my portion, I got my portion. No, we have to think there's a whole big Torah out there and I have a responsibility to conquer all of it. I have a responsibility to learn all of it. We have like 10 minutes left, but I think we'll continue in order and hopefully, guys said we should end at 10:30. Yeah, I also thought so, but I'm going by the time you guys allotted me, and I don't know if we're gonna get another class. I don't know. I don't see that it'll work, but we'll try. Yeah. Mezunot.
Mezunot.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
I'm happy to be here. So maybe we'll skip the blessings of each nation, of each tribe, and skip to the end. And if we have time, we'll go back to the blessings. I feel bad because that's what we did last year too. It's not the way it should be. So we'll mention a few highlights quickly. I'm going to speed read now, and we'll get whatever we can in the next 10 minutes. Moshe Rabbeinu blesses the tribe of Reuven, and Moshe Rabbeinu reveals to us that Reuven is going to merit the world to come. Yachad Shiftei Yisrael Yechi Reuven, the nations, the tribes united in ascertaining that Reuven make it to the world to come, like a father that's on his deathbed and he wants to bless his kids, and they all say, just make up with the big brother and we'll all be happy. So too all the nations said, Moshe, before you bless us, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, Yechi Reuven, we want Reuven to live. We don't want to enter blessing without knowing that Reuven's making it to the world to come, and he did. We know Reuven had an issue that Yaakov was upset at him for what he had done with his father's wife, whatever it was that he did, whatever it was, Yaakov was upset at him, and now Moshe Rabbeinu reveals to us that his atonement, his tshuva was accepted, and he merited the world to come. Moshe Rabbeinu blesses the tribe of Yehuda, and there's a very interesting medrash here, not well known. If you quote it, people will tell you you fell off your rocker, so don't bother quoting it, but it is interesting to note that there is an understanding in the medrash, ve'elamote v'yenu, that Yehuda was buried in the Maara Samachpela. In contradiction with all the other midrashim we know that say there were only four pairs, there's a medrash that says that Yehuda is also buried there in Maras HaMachpelah. We're short on time. Levi gets a blessing, even though his brother Shimon does not, because Levi did tshuva. We know that Yaakov didn't bless Levi or Shimon for what they had done in Shechem. But Levi spends the years from Yaakov's period to Moshe's period doing tshuva in the Egel. They don't do the Chet Egel. They're loyal. When it comes to Baal Peor, they don't sin. And Shimon, they sin by the Egel, and their Nasi is the one that leads the sin with Baal Peor. So they don't get a direct blessing, but rather when Moshe Rabbeinu blesses the tribe of Yehuda, he alludes to Shimon by saying, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda, Shema Hashem, the first words of the blessings of Yehuda are Shema Hashem, like Shimon. Shimon was named Shimon after the words Shema Hashem. And we know that the tribe of Shimon was swallowed within the tribe of Yehuda in the inheritance of the land of Israel as well. Levi is blessed, Barech Hashem Chilo, that God should bless them and they should have wealth. And most of the Kohanim really were wealthy historically. And our sages attribute it to this blessing, that Moshe Rabbeinu blessed them with wealth. Yes. Our sages said that a Kohen that did the Ktores would become wealthy. They derived it from this verse. And that's why our sages were careful that you could never do the Ktores twice. By the same token, they say that being a Sandek is a continuation of this service of Hashem, holding the baby at the time of the bris, and that's why we try not to give the same person to be sandik twice. The same father doesn't give the same person to be sandik twice.
So
Levin Yamin Amar, not that he directly gets kesef, but rather that it's a blessing in heaven that he should be blessed, and hopefully that will help him become wealthy. Levin Yamin Amar. Tzadik, we have 5 minutes. Let's try to run. Levinyamin Amar, Yedid Hashem. Binyamin is blessed and he's called the name Buddy of Hashem. The word Yedid, six are called Yedidim. Hashem is called Yedid, Binyamin is called Yedid, Avram is called Yedid, Shlomo is called Yedid, Yisrael, the Jewish people are called Yedidim, and the temple is called Yedid. And that's why the Gemara says, Yavo Yedid. Shlomo is called Yedidya, that was his name. He was Yedid, the son of Yedid. He was a great grandson of Avram, who was called Yedid. And he built the Yedid, he built the temple, Li Yedidim, for the Jewish people who are all called friends of Hashem, Bimkom Bechelek Shel Yedid, in the portion of the tribe that's also called Yedid, that's Binyamin. So we have all six Yedidim together in the temple. Why was the temple built in the portion of Binyamin, the Kodesh HaKodashim? Why was that in the portion of Binyamin? So there are many understandings. One says because he was the little son. When the father comes to give his children inheritance, every child pipes up and the little one thinks, what am I going to get? So the father says, no, I'm giving you. I'm going to be by you this Shabbos. Every child says, I got a big family, I'm a big kid. The little one thinks, what am I going to say? God says, no, I'm going to be by you, and all your brothers are going to send the food over. Your wife doesn't have to do the cooking. So to Hashem said, I'm building my Kodesh HaKodashim, Holy of Holies, in the tribe of Binyamin, and all the other tribes have to bring the Karbanos to there. That's one understanding. Another understanding is because he's the only one that was born in the land of Israel, Binyamin. Another understanding is because he was the only one who wasn't involved in the sale of Yosef. God said, the temple is a place where you're going to turn to me and ask for mercy. People who didn't have the mercy to hold on to their brother, they could sell their brothers, they cannot have the Holy of Holies in their territory. He was also the smallest tribe, and when all the other Shvatim left home, he stayed home. He was the little boy. He took care of his father when no one else did. Hashem said, the shoulders that Yaakov the Tzaddik rested his hands on, those are the shoulders I want my temple by. And that's why the temple is by Binyamin. There are other midrashim that say when everyone else bowed to Esav, Binyamin didn't bow. Binyamin wasn't born yet. And Hashem said only he could build, and his section can be built, the Holy of Holies. Yosef is blessed, and he's blessed that he's going to be the leader, just as he was the leader in Egypt. He's going to be the leader in the times of Mashiach. As we know, there's going to be Mashiach ben Yosef. When the nations come to the land of Israel, they come and they see how they go touring, and they see in Jerusalem that we serve one God, and they're so impressed, they all became gerim out of that. That's Amim HaYikau. Moshe Rabbeinu HaYikau. The nations all gathered to the mountain where the temple was. We're going to skip forward quickly. Moshe Rabbeinu ends his blessings by saying, Ashrecha Yisrael, praised are you Israel. A man gives a son to a tutor, and the tutor loves the kid, and he tells him, you see all these vineyards? You're the prince, you're going to get them. And the kid says, tell me more, what am I going to get when I become king? So he says, you see all the orchards of olives, you're going to get them. And the kid says, tell me more. So he says, you know, and I don't know what to tell you, but Ashrecha, you know, like all the Sephardim say, praised are you, you're going to get so much. You know how much is waiting for you? So too Moshe said to the Jewish people. They said, Moshe, tell us, what's going to be? What good are we going to get? What's God promising us? And Moshe started blessing, and then he ended up, he said, you know what? All I can say is, Ashrecha. Ashrecham Yisrael, praise to you, Israel. You know how good it's going to be for you. I don't know what to say more than that. There's a lot of good waiting for you. Praise to you. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, when you have it good, be prepared. The nations are all going to lie to you. They're all going to be buddy-buddy. They're going to call you, hey, brother, just like Esav did to Yaakov. He told him, my brother, I'm okay, I got enough. He sees Yaakov's wealthy, so he calls him brother. So Moshe Rabbeinu warns them, be prepared. When the nations see that things are going well for you, they're all going to try to be buddy-buddy and call you brothers. Moshe Rabbeinu ascends to his death, and God shows him the future of the Jewish people till the end of time. God shows him the land of Israel. And the last 8 verses in the Torah, it's unclear who wrote them, whether Moshe wrote them, Bedema, in Tyr, or Yoshua wrote them. What does it mean, Bedema? So one understanding is that until then he dipped his quill in ink, and here he dipped his quill in his tears, and he wrote them out of tears. Our sages say that these 8 verses have a different level of holiness, and if we had time, there are at least 5 understandings what it is, but we're running out of time. So we're just going to end with a discussion of what was special about Moshe's prophecy. The Torah ends with telling us that Moshe was the greatest prophecy. When God created prophets, there was no prophet created like Moshe. So the Rambam says that we have a few things that Moshe was spectacular about. He didn't see prophecy through an angel. God spoke to him directly. He wasn't scared when he got prophecy. We saw even Avram was fearful when he got prophecy. He spoke to God like friends talk to one another. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to attain prophecy at any minute he wanted, and all other prophets could not. And Moshe Rabbeinu's miracles were done so that everyone admitted that he was a true prophet. And no other prophet had so much fame when it came to his miracles. The Ramban questions the Rambam's understanding, and the Ramban says there are 3 things that are spectacular about Moshe's miracles. A, quantity. He made more miracles than any other prophet. B, the level of miracles, the elevated stature of the miracles. And C, the third difference is how long they lasted. No other prophet had miracles lasting for 40 years. Like Moshe Rabbeinu had the Anan HaKavod, the Man, the Be'er. All the miracles they had 40 years in the desert. And... yeah.
Chael did also finished falling.
Okay. There's more to say, obviously, but we're out of time. So everyone should have a wonderful Simchat Torah. Bezrat Hashem, we should all be Sameach, have true Simcha with the Torah. It's known that the Gra used to dance with full force when it came to Simchat Torah. Mm-hmm. He didn't view it as something derogatory, but quite the contrary. We learn from Shlomo that we make a rejoicing when we finish a section of Torah, and here we're finishing the whole Torah, reading the whole Torah, so we're supposed to rejoice, and that's Simchat Torah, Bezrat Hashem, here in Israel, it's together with Shemini Atzeret, and Chutz Haaretz, it's a separate day. I hope we will have a class on Parshat Bereshit.